Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Winning Family Podcast with Rodney Michelle Gage. And today we're diving into a very important subject matter. It's on unexpected differences. And I don't know of a couple who hasn't perhaps walked into any relationship who did not encounter some unexpected differences as it relates how two people are completely different. And
this is true. We dated for a year and we were engaged a year. So 2 years before we got married, and you would have thought that we knew everything about each other. But when you get married, you start to realize how different you actually are, because none of us are the same. We come from different families, different backgrounds, different ideals. Even if you come from even a strong Christian family, you probably were raised differently, but that's really not even the case now. There's a lot of people, more than 50% of the people don't come from a Christian family, that are getting married now. So no matter what age or stage of marriage you might be in, or you might be considering marriage, this podcast is for you.
Yes.
It's going to be good.
You know, I think, would you agree that most couples, when they get married or they even consider marriage, they go in with kind of an ideal, they go in with maybe an expectation of, oh, this is going to be amazing, found my soulmate, we're going to live happily ever after.
I do think that is the case. Or they probably wouldn't marry each other.
It's interesting, yes, because, I think that's the true motivations of any couple that, you know, obviously are getting married or pursuing marriage. You know, they go in with the idea of, oh, finally I met the love of my life and we're going to spend the rest of our lives together and make memories together, have children together, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, you know, before a very short amount of time goes by, they realize, what in the world just happened? Who did I just marry? You know, he was different, she was different, you know, he's changed, she's changed. And so you have all of these things that suddenly begin to kind of manifest in the relationship that they perhaps never either thought about, or maybe they just didn't prepare for, or they didn't think was maybe a big deal, and therefore they never really gave it the priority, you know, when it came to really preparing for how to deal with those unexpected differences.
Right. There's so much you can do ahead of time to prepare yourself and walk through different things together to help determine some of those differences and try to get on the same page before you get married.
Right.
But just in case you didn't.
Right. So let me just say, if you're single, or maybe you find yourself in a place where maybe you're single again, and, you know, you've kind of been through this before and you know the heartache and disappointment that can lead to, you know, again, this is an opportunity for us just to kind of rethink some things as it relates to the importance of differences and knowing how to prepare for when we do, you know, realize that we are uniquely different by design. God made us uniquely different.
That's right. We come from very different families, although they were both Christian homes. I'm the oldest of four girls and you're the youngest of four boys. And that in and of itself was so different. And that was probably some of the hardest things for me to overcome, was how different you were in the way you process things and things.
We grew up drinking milk out of the milk jug.
Oh, no.
But
no,
girls don't do that.
No, we don't.
But no, I mean, seriously, I mean, it was just a whole different perspective.
Yeah.
You know, you saw things different. You felt things differently. You approached things differently. Yes. And, you know, like your mode of operation was completely different.
Yes.
And so, you know, it took a lot and for me to adjust, and obviously for you to adjust to me. But I think that's the whole issue, you know, because one out of two marriages, they say 50% of all marriages still to this day end in divorce.
Right.
Studies show 60% of second time marriages end in divorce. Mm-hmm. And I would be safe to say that the vast majority of those who end up experiencing the pain of divorce, more times than not, the reasoning for divorce is incompatibility. So what's interesting is that no one in their right mind would get on an airplane knowing there's a 50% chance that the airplane is not going to make it to its final destination.
Absolutely.
And
not.
Yet couples mm-hmm. will enter into a marriage relationship with a 50-50 chance, so to speak, that the marriage may end in divorce.
Right. But nobody marries someone with that in mind. Like,
right. We go in with an unrealistic expectation, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
But when those unrealistic, well, not so much unrealistic, it's really just the unexpected differences that are kind of suddenly exposed when the spotlight's put on them. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you know, we find ourselves in a tug of war situation where we are pulling on, you know, two opposite ends of the rope, and the tension and the frustration, you know, builds and builds and builds because of those differences. And so those differences can pull us apart rather than pull us together.
Right. And I just want to say that not every marriage is struggling and having tension and that sort of thing.
Right, right, right.
Especially when you're initially getting married, you're on a honeymoon phase for quite a while. It's just when certain pressures and things begin to come into your life, maybe children. You know, a lot of times it's that first baby that starts to reveal more of those differences and how you handle certain things. Because it wasn't like we got married and everything was awful all of a sudden, you know.
Yeah,
there was definitely a honeymoon phase.
Right, right, right.
You don't see those differences initially for a while.
Right, and that's where I was going with that. I think the whole issue is that I think sometimes we have this idealized, you know, fairy tale, live happily ever after approach. And that's great,
yes. You know,
but at the same time, reality is going to hit at some point.
Right. Right.
And the reality is that, oh, he thinks different. She thinks different, you know, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, you know, and it could be little things. It's not always the big escalated, you know, blow ups. It's, you know, it's the little things that over time, you know, for example, like little things like toilet paper. I mean, like, you know, you like it under, I like it over.
Excuse me? No, that's not true. Let the whole world know I like it over. Oh. I do not like it under. Absolutely not. Now the toothpaste.
Okay,
and all
we
those gotta
get some surveillance cameras on this one.
Oh my goodness gracious. But anyway, yeah.
So
there are some real differences, though, that are much more intense than the toilet paper, whether it's going over or under. And some of those were like for us, for example, for me, coming from a home of all girls, I mean, the emotions run high and you want your spouse to be in on those emotions with you and feel and be sensitive to you. And you would sometimes just run me over as far as like in conversations and cut me off and cut people off.
I'm like, what is the problem? Are you depressed or what are you? Why are you crying so much?
I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but for me, I'm like, well, who in the world is this? And, you know, what is going on? Because my dad raising four girls, you know, he was not the perfect father, absolutely not, but he was the man in my life, my first love in my life, and he was extremely sensitive having a wife and four girls. You know, he just had to be, and he had his only sibling was a sister, so he grew up in a home that was very sensitive as well. But you grew up in the home where it's like not a lot of those kind of emotions were acknowledged. You know, I think it was like, just you hurt yourself, get up and let's move on,
yeah,
you know,
deal with it.
Yeah. So those are some of the differences. That's one of the main differences that I really struggled with, you know, is just so different than the way that I grew up.
But, you know, obviously, let's take it a little deeper because I think, you know, again,
that was pretty deep for me. Just to let you know.
The difference is, you know, when it even comes to, you know, things like how we see money.
Oh, sure.
You know, how, and you know, it could be just personality differences because it's interesting, the old saying, you know, opposites attract. But over time, opposites can also attack.
Right.
So what used to be, you know, funny or cute or, you know, we thought, you know, eventually would maybe go away, you know, now all of a sudden those can over time become bigger things.
Right.
But to go deeper in the sense that, you know, one likes to save, one likes to spend, mm-hmm. You know, one's a night owl, you know, one likes to get up early. So there's endless things that can really make a couple uniquely different in just the way we're wired and how we see things and the mm-hmm. perspective that we might have. And a lot of it is due to how we were raised and mm-hmm. how our parents handled situations, how they, you know, either leveraged their differences to, mm-hmm. you know, make their marriage stronger or how those differences created moments of awkwardness and separation and isolation and tension in the home. So again, we all learn in different ways based on how we were raised, how we saw, you know, others, you know, live their own life in those ways, especially in a marriage relationship. And so a lot of times we have these ideals or certain, you know, expectations in our minds of the way it's going to be.
I think even more so than the difference itself is how those differences were dealt with in the home that you were raised.
Yes.
How did your mom and dad deal with the differences that they had? I think is even more important than the differences themselves. Yeah. Because we learned, we imprinted upon how our parents dealt with conflict. And I think even you and I, a lot of times, strong-willed people find each other and marry each other. And we're definitely that way. We have both have very strong personalities and we're very strong on
you
our
heard
opinions.
It live here, folks.
That's right. It's the truth. And so that in and of itself as well can be challenging. Yeah. So
and we can't allow a strong will to keep us from experiencing a strong marriage.
Absolutely. So let's use that will to create a strong marriage. That's,
right.
I think that's where you and I had determined that. And not that we've done it perfectly, because we sure had to work through a lot of differences and figuring that out initially and for the first few years of our marriage and still continually, we're always working on it. But
well, let's unpack that a little bit. Mm-hmm. So obviously, as we're talking about differences, again, many of us are introverts, some are extroverts. Mm-hmm. You know, we just sometimes can have, again, a different perspective of how we see things and how we feel differently based on, again, a lot of it's just the temperament and the way we're wired. Mm-hmm. But again, there's tons and tons of examples as it relates to the differences, especially even between men and women. But God had a plan when he put men and women together. And God obviously also, I think, sometimes has a sense of humor because he wants to show that by design, he was intentional in making us different, not to make us, you know, cause us grief, but I think if anything, to help us grow mm-hmm. in the ultimate relationship that he longs for us to have, not only with him, but with each other.
That's right. I think the core principle that we are here on this earth to know God and to make him known. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so beautiful about the marriage relationship. It is a representation of knowing God and having that intimate relationship with him. And then us coming together makes such a beautiful illustration or a picture of what that relationship can be like to the people around us.
Yeah. I ran across a word that I thought was really kind of cool because I'd never really, I guess, had learned this before. It's a Hebrew word, and it's called Ezer Kenegdo. And it basically is defined suitable helper, counterpart who strengthens. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about, you know, when God made, you know, man and woman, and specifically when he created Adam, he created Adam, the Bible says, from the dust of the earth. He created, and then, you know, and he made the animals from the dust of the earth. But when he made woman, he took a rib from Adam's side and made a woman from Adam himself. And that's why when Adam said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone, it's like, finally, somebody I can relate to, somebody who's like me. Mm-hmm. And then it's interesting that the rib specifically taken from the side is also a powerful, tangible, and visual reminder of how a husband and a wife should walk hand in hand, side by side, together. So when God made man and woman, he made them for a unique purpose and made them uniquely different, but again, to complement one another. And so therefore, you complement my weaknesses. I help complement your weaknesses. Yes. And there are things that I learn from you, you learn from me.
Yes.
But that's a part of God's design.
Yeah, I think ultimately we help each other. I know that you have helped me become more of the complete person that God has the purpose for me to be, you know, just to reach. You see things in me that I don't see in myself and encourage me to become all that God has created for me to be. And that way you're a helpmate to me, and prayerfully I am to you in the same way.
And I think in it's interesting because studies even show that couples who embrace their differences mm-hmm. rather than resist their differences actually go on to have stronger, healthier,
yeah.
lifelong relationships,
yeah.
and specifically healthy, strong marriage relationships.
Right.
And so again, mm-hmm. all a part of God's plan and purpose and design, he made us differently.
Right.
So again, rather than using those differences in a negative way and saying, yeah. oh, well, we just weren't meant to be, or, oh, we're just incompatible. The mm-hmm. grass must be greener on the other side. Mm-hmm. No, we're looking, the problem with that, that's a myth. There's an incompatibility myth. And the myth is that, oh, there's somebody out there that's going to be perfect for me. And that is not true.
Right.
There's always going to be differences and weaknesses. There's always going to be those imperfections, no matter who, you know, we're surrounded, we're imperfect people.
Yeah.
And so because of our own sinful desires, mm-hmm. self-centered nature, mm-hmm. and because of the differences that we do have, it doesn't come naturally. We have to work. We have to be intentional about yeah. growing together. That's
yes.
why we've often encouraged couples who may come to us and say, oh, well, we're struggling in our marriage relationship. And so they're coming with the idea, how can you help me? Because we need to work in our marriage. And I get what they're saying, but really the best way to work on your marriage is rather than working on your marriage, work on your togetherness. Mm-hmm. So how can you come together and be unified and work on your oneness in mm-hmm. all these areas that, yeah. that you're different in, but how can you leverage those differences to become stronger and healthier in your oneness because you're working on your togetherness?
Yeah, that always that makes me... that when you mention that, it always makes me think about when we took our kids, my parents were in town and we took our kids on a canoeing trip in Wekiva Springs. And it was so beautiful. But my mom and dad and the girls and Luke, I think, was with mom and dad. And they took off in the canoes ahead of us. And then you and I, you know, we're going to come on the back end of everyone. And we got in and we both knew exactly what we needed to do. And we did it. And we just spun in circles because we both knew exactly the way it should be done. And we were not going to listen to the other one. And so we just continually spun in circles. And the little grumpy old man on the side of the water, he was dying laughing at us. And we were just getting mad. But because we would not not work together to figure it out. We were determined that the other one was wrong.
We were
wrong.
Trying to do it our way.
Yes.
Yeah, we were determined that our way was the right way.
Exactly. But that's such a perfect picture, because once we got in sync, we got in rhythm with each other, and we figured out how we could move forward together. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, we got to see a lot of beautiful things and enjoy the trip with our family.
Well, here's a couple of things. Let me just say this, because I think, again, just there's a few things just to wrap this up that we need to just maybe help any couple out there that's, you know, realizing that, you know, our differences have put stress or strain, you know, in our relationship. You know, maybe we've allowed it to go on for a long time in the relationship, and it's only made matters worse. We seem to always be, you know, bickering and fussing. And again, it's that I think it's the temptation to get our mate to see things our way, mm-hmm. to feel things the way we want them to feel, to do things we want them to do. Mm-hmm. And so we're just pulling and pulling and pulling. It only creates more tension, which pulls us further apart.
Right.
And so I think first and foremost, it's important that we just celebrate our differences,
yes.
as opposed to tolerate our differences.
Yeah.
So rather than just say, oh, well, that's just the way she is, or that's just the way he is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it is the way he is and the way she is, because that's the way God made them. Mm-hmm. So we have to shift our perspective, like rather than seeing it as a flaw or a weakness or an imperfection, you know, how can we see that difference as, okay, well, God placed her in my life for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we see things differently, but at the same time, I admire and appreciate those differences, those things that make you uniquely you.
Right.
And I think when we begin to recognize and celebrate, because there's the old saying, there's a strength behind every weakness, and there's a weakness behind every strength. It's mm-hmm. so true.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's why I think God, you know, put sometimes opposite personalities together mm-hmm. for that very reason, to complement.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was, you know, when you think about the whole statement of being incompatible,
mm-hmm.
well, at some point, two people were compatible. So,
right.
So they learn to be incompatible.
Mm-hmm.
So most couples who are incompatible from the very, very beginning usually don't just say, hey, let's get married. No, it's maybe over the course of time, they realize, oh my goodness, we're a lot different than what we originally thought. But at the same time, go back and ask yourself, well, what were those things that we were attracted to in the early stages of our relationship? What are those characteristics, or, you know, those qualities that we at first were drawn towards, that we were attracted to?
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever those things were, for whatever reason, maybe we have forgotten those, or we've glazed over those things that we need to actually go back and remember and say, you know what? Well, I remember I was most attracted when, you know, you were like this, or I remember when you used to say things, or I remember you used to do things. And all of a sudden we begin to realize that, yeah, those were core strengths that actually at the very beginning of the relationship, I used to really love and admire.
Yeah.
And
I think, for example, when I mentioned earlier that you would like cut me off when I was talking or when someone else was talking, it, in a lot of ways, I didn't appreciate you cutting me off, and you don't really do that anymore, but I appreciated your strength. I appreciated your strong thoughts and the way that you communicated with confidence. I appreciated those things, and that's a lot of what attracted me to you when we first met each other, and I was looking for that. I wanted somebody strong in their beliefs. But I have to, and had to learn to reframe my thoughts about being so offended by your strong way of communicating, back to the thought of, I really, that's one of the reasons why I loved you and married you, you know, is because you're strong. And so I think it is just thinking through those things. And when it comes to parenting, I think, because I never had a brother, and there was no boy in our home. When we had a son, and the way that you raised our son, the way that you disciplined our son, the way that you spoke to our son was very new to me. I mean, I just was not around that. Of course, it was the way you were raised with four boys in your family. So I had to learn how to appreciate the way that you raised our son, the way that you spoke to him and directed him and guided him. But at initially, you know, it was hard for me to, understand, obviously not as a baby, but as he was a middle schooler going into high school, those things were hard for me. The differences between us, the way that I would naturally handle a situation it was very hard for me to see how you would handle it differently. But I learned over time to appreciate it because that's what our son needed. Mm-hmm. He needed that strong male figure in his life. And I'm so grateful that I learned to appreciate our differences. But it did not initially come easy for me. In fact, it was very difficult for me. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a way to see it as a parent.
Yeah, that's a great... Yeah, I think point of application, because again, whether you're married, with kids, without kids, it's just important to realize, yes, God made us all different. Yes, opposites sometimes can be attracted to each other, mm-hmm. but if we're not careful, they can attack. So, you know, let's make it our goal to celebrate rather than tolerate. Right. But secondly, I think it's important for us to come to that place where we fight for our marriage rather than fight against each other.
Yeah.
And so God has a plan and a purpose for our marriage. You mm-hmm. said it earlier. It's to glorify God. It's to mm-hmm. make him, it's to know him and to make him known.
Yeah.
And so the enemy knows that.
Oh, yes.
So Satan has come to do the opposite. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy.
Right.
So what he wants to do is he wants to rob us from what God has for us. He wants to, you know, ultimately kill the potential of our marriage relationship, because he knows the ripple effect that's going to have on multiple generations.
Exactly.
So rather than fighting against mm-hmm. each other and trying to prove each other wrong or trying mm-hmm. to, you know, find a way for us to get our own way, because we want our way, we want things to go the way we want them to go. Well, again, James 4 teaches us all of that is driven out of a self-centered desire of just wanting to get your own way for the sake of getting your own way, rather than saying, no, God placed us together to glorify him.
Right.
And so how can I become like Jesus in our marriage?
Yeah.
And how can we become like Jesus in our marriage? How can we work towards our togetherness and fight for our marriage mm-hmm. that God wants to use mm-hmm. to impact future generations for his glory.
Right.
So knowing that fighting against each other is only counterproductive.
Right.
It's working against. It's again, going back to that tug of war, pulling rope. Mm-hmm. We are pulling away. We're, mm-hmm. we're separating, we're dividing. Mm-hmm. And God wants us to join each other on the same side of the rope and pull together.
Right.
And so he wants our marriages to win.
That's right. And I think, again, it goes very much back to the way that we were raised and what we saw in that relationship and the thought of pulling together and fighting for each other instead of fighting against each other in our differences mm-hmm. is... we naturally are going to lean into the way that we saw it done in the home we were raised in. And so we have to be aware. I mean, we talk a lot about drifting, and so easily in your marriage, you can drift. You know, when you go snorkeling, you're under the water and you can easily drift away from where you initially were and where you are intending to be. Because you get so distracted. And we can do the same in our marriage when it comes to, we just, all of a sudden, we're not together on things and we're fighting against each other instead of realizing and appreciating each other and appreciating mm-hmm. the differences and fighting for each other. As you said, the enemy is trying to take us down and we can easily forget that.
Mm-hmm.
each day, we've got to remind ourselves what we're doing. We're together in this. We're raising amazing children together, and we're fighting for generations to come and a legacy we want to leave. So you have to remind yourself of that.
Absolutely. Well, one final thought here as we wrap up our time is this whole concept of pulling together and fighting for our mm-hmm. marriage. And pulling together really does require, I think, something that's extremely important that many couples really have a hard time, I think, just really wrapping their minds around to understand, but more importantly, even practicing. And that is what the scripture talks about when it comes to mutual submission. So God ultimately wants us to submit first and foremost to Him, but also submit to one another, mm-hmm. mutual submission. And so the only way that we can submit to one another is by submitting first and foremost to God. Absolutely. And making Him the Lord of our lives, putting Him in the driver's seat of our hearts and lives, and surrendering. You know, I love the word surrender because it's kind of like a, you're holding up your hand, you know, you're giving up your rights, you're giving up your ways, you're surrendering, and basically you're giving up control to be right. You're giving up your control to have it your way. Mm-hmm. And so when we surrender, we give up, you know, our ways to ultimately God's ways, mm-hmm. and then we submit our lives to Him, and we really basically say, God, I want Your will to be my will, our will. We want Your ways to be our ways. Now, all of a sudden, we can begin working together. We can start pulling together mm-hmm. and fighting for our marriage, and now really celebrating each other's differences, all because we are working together mm-hmm. in this area of submitting to one another. Mm-hmm. And it's not an issue of, well, she doesn't deserve it or he doesn't deserve it. It really comes down to an issue of honoring
right.
God and honoring each other
right.
and seeing each other and honoring each other the way God sees and honors each of us.
Right. I think we think that we can, that we have this idea that we can control people.
Yeah.
And control our spouse, whether we want to admit it or not. We think we can control people. But the only person that we can control is ourselves.
Yeah.
And the choices, the attitude, the perspective that we're going to have, that's the thing that we can control. Yeah. And that's the thing that will make a great marriage, is when we have our right spirit, a surrendered heart. We live in a culture where that is... that's not the thing that's celebrated for sure. But we have the responsibility. We have the ability to respond.
Yeah.
And we have the ability to choose.
Yeah.
Yeah. How we're going to see things.
Yeah. Strong marriage is by choice, not by chance.
Exactly.
It's not just some, you know, lucky situation, you know, we choose. And yeah. And so, you know, we've said this before, but it's so, so important that every marriage will be hindered until you're fully surrendered.
There you go.
And so it's just important when it comes to, I think, growing in this area of so-called incompatibility, and learning how to take our differences
yeah.
and leverage those differences to truly become your greatest strong point and strong suit as a couple. And so, again, celebrating, not tolerating. It's fighting for your marriage rather than against each other, and ultimately pulling together rather than pulling apart. And I think yeah. when couples begin to work together in these areas and help each other grow in these areas, not by condemning and criticizing and pointing out the flaws, but saying, you know, how can we grow in this area together? And I think just again, the mutual submission and surrender, I think God will use it to help us ultimately get to that place where we are not only growing, but we are glorifying God in all areas of our lives, and especially in our marriage relationship. I just believe yes. the marriage relationship is by far the most powerful testimony we could ever have. It's it's writing. We get to write a story that's worth telling.
So good. That's right. And so, start where you're at.
Yeah.
You know what? Start where you're at. You may have a few years on the books already, but tomorrow's a new page.
That's
it's a blank page. And start where you're at.
That's it.
God's going to honor it. And you start where you personally are at, if you're a wife or the husband, just start where you're at and be an example and pray. And God's going to do great things through your marriage.
Absolutely. Well, we trust this has been a helpful episode of the Winning Family Podcast. And we just want to encourage you to share this with some friends, rate, review. We'd love to hear from you, too. Shoot us a DM. Help us to learn maybe what topics of interest that you have. We'd love to speak into those. And it could be literally anything when it comes to family topics and relationships. And so we just want you to know we're here to help you win both at home and in life here at The Winning Family. Until next time, we'll see you on The Winning Family.